make up their own choice whether to serve God or other gods. And life is all about choices, and bad decisions have their consequences. And choices affect us here and for eternity. Many people don't wish to consider, but will one day regret not having done so. It's a case of serving God or serving the devil, and Joshua chose the deity. We may not have the same idols as gods as did the Jews, but we have our own modern-day gods. And an idol is, in fact, anything which acts as a substitute for God. And so we have to decide which to serve. People believe they can do without God. They live as if there was no tomorrow. And as we look around, we see gluttony, alcohol and drug abuse, and unrestricted sex everywhere. Paul said, when tempted, run. And Joseph did that when tempted by Pharaoh's wife, and God was with him and made him a great ruler over Egypt. But following God is a personal decision that you must make for yourself. There's no such thing as proxy faith. Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon, and it may mean denying ambition. There was a young ruler who went to Jesus and was told to sell his possessions and take up his cross. The man wept and went away because he wanted Jesus on his own terms. But Jesus was saying, in effect, I don't really want your money. It's your heart I'm after. Moses had the chance to be brought up in the luxury of an Egyptian princess's home, but he chose to serve God, suffering with Israelites, not knowing that there was a great future ahead of him. And so we consider our priorities. Do we put our church before all other calls for our presence? There can be no compromise, no trying to accommodate society's ways. But in every church, there are Christians whose relationships is perhaps rather formal and outward, a case of being associated with Jesus but never joined to him. And sometimes our faith can go cold. And there's only one way to remain on course, and that is to be close to your church and not to have a periodic attachment. We're facing a time of ungodliness, and if we're to faithfully serve him, we must seek him, which means calling on him and giving up doing things which are wrong in his sight. In many of our schools and universities, there's a clear anti-God bias. And in intellectual circles, the Bible is seen as some form of hate literature. We have discord and disagreement being sown in the lives of Christian people. And we have to resist on every front so as to maintain a Christian faith and presence. The BBC has appointed people of other faiths to be directors of Christian programs, and the church accepts it. Do you imagine for one minute that they would have appointed a Christian to direct Islamic or Hindu programs? Do you think for one minute that the Islamic or Hindu people would allow it? But then, that's just BBC anti-Christian bias. We need to let God know we serve him, which is what I believe God wants us to hear. But choosing whom to serve affects not only ourselves, but our families, especially our children. Our families and homes are in constant danger. Parents have to realize that having children means bearing responsibility for them. So many young people these days are totally out of control, and young people today are facing many problems, and they're uncertain. They are under peer pressure to do many things that they would not normally consider. Taking drugs, indulging in sexual activity, which accounts for so many teenage pregnancies, and all are tempted, and the hardest word to use is no. It's reported that 1 in 5 children under 14 years of age regularly watch pornography on the internet. And God provides a way out, but so many children know little about God because no one tells them about him. Our children need to be taught to be people of integrity and know of their Christian heritage just as much as children of all other faiths are taught about theirs. And the church itself must look and consider its position. The press are constantly telling us of how we're losing people. and they put the blame firmly on the church. That's perhaps rather unfair. The true responsibility rests upon those who fail to attend and encourage children not to attend. Society was certainly more stable and balanced when people did attend. And the average person sees the church as out of date and our message as irrelevant, even though they never go near a church to establish that, which is why they live as they do without reference to God or eternity. And this is just sardonic self-justification. And so our message needs to be positive with no uncertain sound. Does the same fire which burned in the lives of the outstanding men of God in the past still burn in today's preachers? Many ministers are afraid of speaking out. There's always someone ready to accuse them of phobia or narrow-mindedness. But we are, however, faced with a dilemma. If we were to faithfully teach biblical morality in these times, we would find many of the congregations finding it a strain on their consciences in view of their lifestyles. So it was very heartening to hear Archbishop Nichols saying, "I'm not here to be popular, I'm going to be successful." Joshua was not convinced the people were sincere when they promised to serve the Lord. And he challenged them several times before accepting their words. He knew that commitment and obedience would be required. And he told them they were dealing with a God who would not be trifled with. Eventually, he did believe them. And he erected a stone in commemoration under an oak tree to commemorate the binding of the people to serve the Lord their God. They didn't, however, follow that commitment. And a whole new generation grew up who had no knowledge of the Lord, and we see how history can repeat itself. As Christians, we have a commitment to serve God, and just as Joshua reminded the Jews of all God had done for them, so we must reflect on all that which God has done for us and respond accordingly. God speaks to us from the past to show us the sins his people committed in order to help us decide. And God is still speaking. We can either ignore or listen. So many people in the present economic climate are worried and uncertain. If they seek help in the church, we must see they get it. We must realize our ways and actions are observed, and we can influence a person who's seeking spiritual renewal. We all have to ask, am I ready to serve the Lord? There's no room for being neutral, no time to sit on the fence. Every person needs a God, and every person must serve the God they choose. You can't choose the true God by default or by inheritance. Joshua made his choice. Let us make ours and say, we will serve the Lord. Amen.